It's time for a look back on today's match. This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore.
Atlanta United Soccer is brought to you by Equifax, The Home Depot, Mercedes-Benz, AT&T, Publix, Scana, Cuff and Tire, Lunazol, La Perea, Piedmont Healthcare, Heineken, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, and Associated Credit Union.
The home for MLS in Atlanta, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, I know we're live. Hold on. That gets me choked up, and it's a long story, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That gets me choked up, but what a moment. 2-0 Atlanta United over Portland Timbers. 2018 MLS Cup champions. I'm an Italian. I'm a crier. I'm sorry, guys. I'll try not to do that again. Jay Riddle picked that song without knowing. And it's almost embarrassing to say a song for the movie Mannequin has a personal meaning to me, which we'll get into it another day. But Atlanta United's done it. We're going to have a parade on Monday. And even if you're just coming into it this week, even if you haven't followed this for the first 2 years, this is for everyone, okay? Get on board. It is okay. All are welcome, all right? This you do not have to be a soccer purist. You do not have to be someone who has watched multiple soccer games over the last year or two. This is for the city. And the city, the amount of support, the buzz in this town this week, you kind of felt like, Jason, that the trophy had Atlanta United's name written on it before this match even began.
It did. Portland came in as a team you had to respect. And, I mean, you know, we're looking right next door to us, and you have to feel for Jake Zivin and Ross Smith and Nat Borchers.
Yes.
Great broadcast team for the Timbers. And you have to feel for this team and the fans who made the trip, because it's a proud club and a club that has had a lot of success and had a hard road to get here. They earned every bit of being an MLS Cup. They're not going away. I think Giovanni Savarese is only going to make that club even better over time. But Atlanta United was able to just stifle them completely. You didn't see Diego Valeri and Sebastian Blanco in many dangerous spots in this match. You didn't see Brad Kazan truly tested in many ways in this one. He made the big save at the end of the first half on Jeremy Abobase that he had to make. That's the one that Portland, if you get that and you're 1-1 going into the break, it's a different game. It is a completely different game. Brad hasn't had to do a whole lot in the postseason, but he came up when he had to. That's what great goalkeepers do. And let's go back to this defense. It's easy to talk about the shiny superstars like Joseph Martinez and Miguel Almiron and what they bring to this team. But you don't lift a trophy without Michael Parkhurst, a player at the end of 2016 that Columbus thought had lost a step or two. No, not at all. Leandro Gonzalez Pires, a player who has not gotten his due, and I think he is the best center back in this league. I think he's a player that should be mentioned as Defender of the Year. Jeff Lorenowitz, another player who people thought had lost a step or two. Lorenowitz and Parkhurst come here on the other side of 30 and become essential pieces for Tata Martino. Tata Martino came in, brought players that he knew, brought players from places that he knew, but you couldn't keep the captain's armband off of Parkhurst, and you couldn't keep Jeff Lorenowitz out of this team. Two guys who are as important to everything that has happened with this club as Joseph, as Miguel, as Tito. Parky getting the chance to get that trophy.
Yeah.
God, I'm so happy for that guy.
Absolutely. So happy for everyone, but I think you can pick out a lot of individual storylines, again, starting with Arthur Blank. So the parade that we have been waiting 23 years for in Atlanta will start at the intersection of Peachtree Street and Baker Street, okay, that's in the Centennial Olympic Park area. It'll travel down Baker Street, kind of down like that streetcar line, It will take a left turn in front of the Ferris wheel, or actually a little beyond the Ferris wheel. It'll go by the aquarium, left on Marietta Street, right on Andrew Young, and then it will travel down the front of Andrew Young around State Farm Arena to Mercedes-Benz Stadium where the big Falcon statue is. That's where the parade will end. I need to get this confirmed, but I'm pretty sure there will be a rally at the end of it. But that is the route, okay? So Peachtree and Baker, all the way down Baker, past the aquarium to Marietta Street, basically where the College Football Hall of Fame is. Left turn there, right turn on International, basically where CNN Center is. And then it will go up International, around the backyard, the Home Depot backyard, and basically will end where the Atlanta United bus drops its players off before every home match. So that's the route, Monday at 10. As I have been telling you, Jason and I will be in it. And thanks to some MacGyver work by Eric Davis, he will have us broadcasting from the parade on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We will have some additional coverage Monday on 92.9 The Game. I cannot share the details right now. We still need to work some of it out. Quite frankly, we didn't want to talk a whole lot about it around the office because it's a jinx, but we can talk about it openly now.
As I made said, no plans after 8:08, yeah.
Well,
after
that,
kickoff.
That was smart.
I made zero plans.
Well, tomorrow watch the Falcons and listen. I'll be doing the Falcons
of course
game on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game starting 11, but then Monday, the parade that we have waited 23 years for. Man of the match brought to you by Heineken. Joseph Martinez named man of the match by media voting tonight. A goal and assist, three shots. It's got to be Joseph.
I mean,
right?
He's one of three guys to do that, a goal and an assist in the final. Your big players have to show up in these moments. We worried about Valeri and Blanco. They really didn't have much of an impact on this game. Joseph did it all the way around, and it's not even just the goal and the assist. You know, think to the big clearance on the corner late in the match. I mean, he ran himself into the ground for this team and did a lot of things that top strikers ordinarily aren't asked to do.
Yeah. So Joseph Martinez, the league MVP, the Golden Boot winner, now the MLS Cup Final MVP, best 11, obviously, All-Star Game MVP. I mean, Johannes, if you're listening to us, Johannes is the guru of all statistics and all history. And I'm going to be very curious to see if that's ever been done before.
I don't think anybody's
All-Star
done that treble.
All-Star MLS Cup Final. Yeah, you're right. That is the treble.
Well, quadruple, honestly, if you want to throw Golden Boot into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Joseph Martinez, the man of the match, brought to you by Heineken. I don't really have the full-time statistics. Do we even really care? I mean,
2-0.
2-0 is all that matters. I can tell you unofficially, 9 shots to 8 Atlanta United, 4 shots on goal to 3 for Atlanta United, fouls 13 to 12 Portland, each team shown 1 yellow, crosses 18-16 Portland. I think what stands out to me the most, though, Jason, even in the desperate moments, Portland was reduced to very low percentage shots from distance. Guys like Milano from distance, Espria from distance, Chara from distance, Blanco. Atlanta United did a really, really good job, as they did last Thursday night at Red Bull Arena, shutting down that final third.
I mean, let's go back to it. 3 shots on goal for Portland tonight. In the postseason, if I can do math at this stage of the night, the Atlanta defense conceded 14 shots on goal in 5 matches? A clean sheet in the final?
How about that? Brad Guzan with 3 clean sheets in 5 playoff games. And he really didn't have to do a ton of work, to be honest with you. I mean, now, tonight was different. He stoned Ebabisi at point blank in the first half. Ebabisi may have even gotten hurt on that play.
Biggest save he's made in the postseason.
No doubt. Maybe the biggest. I mean, right up there with the save he had in Orlando when it was 2-1. I mean, one of his best saves of the year. He made a more routine but still important diving save down here at the end. So he had to do a little bit more work tonight. It wasn't like a Yankee Stadium where there were no shots on target by New York City in the very first playoff match of this season.
And Greg Berhalter, the new manager of the U.S. men's national team, I know you might be partial to the goalkeeper who has treated you very well in Columbus over the last couple of years, Zach Steffen, but Brad Guzan's the best goalkeeper for the U.S. national team right now. He should be starting.
All right, so Atlanta United, 2-0 winners over Portland Timbers here in the MLS Cup Final. Let's take a break, kind of reset ourselves. We're going to try to bring you as much coverage from downstairs as we possibly can. But we need to take this break just to kind of collect ourselves right now. More to come. We will have the highlights next. We hope to have some interviews too. Stand by. Atlanta United, the 2018 MLS Cup champions, 2-0 winners over Portland Timbers tonight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hudson FC, all the pub partners for Atlanta United all over Metro Atlanta. I can only imagine the scenes right now on Peachtree Street, on East Andrews and Buckhead, in the especially lit sections of Dunwoody.
The most lit place in Atlanta might be the Gulch.
Well, yeah, that and also the team store. We are seeing a crush of humanity head towards the team store right now because they do have some MLS champion merchandise for sale. And the reason why they do is because the Five Stripes got it done tonight in relatively comfortable fashion, 2-0 over Portland Timbers. Before we get to the highlights, so Atlanta United goes 4-1-0 in the postseason. The match they lost, they already had a 3-goal lead on aggregate, and they gave up a goal at the very, very end. So Atlanta United goes 4-1-0 in the postseason with a plus-7 goal difference in the five matches played. I don't think there's any doubt that this is the best that Atlanta United has played over a five-week stretch. And, by the way, Atlanta United is now 7-0-1 this year after a loss. How about that for some resiliency? But, I mean, what can you say? You mentioned Guzan with the clean sheets, and this was about as industrious as he had to be to get a third playoff clean sheet tonight. But I don't know if Toronto was the wake-up call. I don't know if something was up that we just didn't know about as far as them experimenting with some things. But just as they responded to that blasting in Houston to begin the year and snap off a 7-match unbeaten streak, that Toronto match really got them going here this year in the postseason.
What it came down to, Tata Martino came in here with a plan to establish Atlanta United as not just a winner, but a winner with style. And he did that in 2017. He did that for a lot of 2018. Well, sometimes you run into opponents that you have to change up against, and he didn't want to. Red Bull Arena, September. He didn't want to change. He wanted to play his game against it. But you saw the first time Michael Parkhurst, Leandro Gonzalez-Pires, Jeff Lorenowitz in the back line together. We saw that in that game there. Didn't work. Although that game was a lot closer, as we talked about many times afterwards, than the scoreline indicated. But you got through that. You bounce back. You go to Toronto. You have a chance to lift the supporter shield at the end of that night. And you came out and you looked tense. You looked tight. You looked like the moment was too big for you. I think there was a soul-searching moment where Tata Martino, the leaders of this team, came together and said, we've established that Atlanta United is a stylish team. We've established that Atlanta United plays the best soccer in this league. Now it's time to go win a trophy, and we're going to do whatever it takes. And you've seen the grit, you've seen the nastiness at times, and you've seen a team that will leave it all out on the field defensively to do what it takes. That's not the type of Atlanta United that maybe we thought midway through this season. We didn't know if they had this in them. It's the type that Tata Martino had a ton of success with in Paraguay when he took that country further than they'd ever been in a World Cup. Tata Martino was questioned a lot about how he comes up in big finals. He answered all of that tonight.
What a way for him to end his two-year, 74-match run of managing here with Atlanta United in a, again, relatively comfortable 2-0 win in his final match. tactical masterclass. We were expecting a little bit of chess tonight between Tata Martino and Giovanni Savarese, but I think what it came down to, Jason, we're going to get to the highlights in a minute. It's kind of what we talked a little bit about in the pre-match show. You know, Valeri Blanco Chara, that's three you absolutely have to respect. Mm-hmm. Relatively quiet tonight, but Atlanta United put a lot into making them quiet. The depth of Atlanta United, being able to bring on a Villalba, being able to bring on a Barco, that I think was the difference as this game wound on and Portland was chasing it. They just did not have as many options off their bench as Atlanta United had.
We talked about it coming in. The flanks were going to be a problem for Portland, and they kept having to try to cover for it because Escobar and Garza were immense tonight. Escobar and Garza, you know, kept Atlanta with an opportunity to attack at all times. It opened the game up. As you saw Portland have to commit players wide to deal with it, that opened up space for Joseph. That opened up space for Julian Gressel, Darlington Nagbe in the middle of the field. It was a night where Atlanta United had more talent on the field, and they knew how to overplay Portland in key parts of the field and make Portland look, honestly, uncharacteristic, look really kind of weak in this match.
Yeah, no doubt. And the first 30 minutes plus of the match controlled by Atlanta United, then for really the only point in the first half, it hit a lull as we go through the scoring summary and the highlights. And then in the 39th minute, Michael Parkhurst jumps into a play, sends the ball up. Somehow it finds its way to Joseph Martinez, and from a very tough angle, Joseph Martinez finishes off his fourth goal of the postseason. Mabiala out of the corner, turned it over, but then Valentin is able to clear. Can Portland get on a counter here? No, as it's sent back to the top of the box. Joseph has the ball. Joseph takes a touch. Tavano shot. Score! And the highlight doesn't do justice to just how deafening it was in this building at that point. So 1-0 Atlanta United. And you know, you'll see the video if you did not have an opportunity to watch the match tonight for some reason, if you're listening to us out on the road. That was not an easy finish for Joseph. That was from an extremely tough angle. But look, he didn't win the golden boot by accident.
Not at all. And it's the reaction that's so quick. You know, the flanks, Greg Garza to an overlapping LGP. But then when the play breaks down, Michael Parkhurst, honestly, what, 35 yards from goal? I mean, that's way up the field for your center back to be after your other center back's in the corner because you're playing that wide open and you're that confident. Parkhurst with the huge tackle. Joseph does the rest.
Less than a minute of game time later, Portland protested to go to VAR. For what reason, I don't know. They did check it. The play did look a little weird, like we were wondering. Maybe Joseph was off. He was not. So after the check, after a somewhat lengthy check, there's the kickoff, and then Portland on the ensuing play, basically to use an American football term, they get a really good scoring opportunity from Abobasi, and Brad Guzan makes his biggest save of the postseason. Here's an ambitious ball into the right side of the box for Blanco. Blanco cuts it at the end line, a header, saved by Guzan off the line! Almost the equalizer, Guzan makes a money save! I almost wonder, Jason, thinking back on that play now, if Abobasi was maybe a yard or two too close to goal.
It was tough. I think he might have overrun it a little bit because Blanco's cross was trying to hit it just outside of the six. Abobasi's kind of leaning back trying to get something on the header. He's not able to really direct it. But don't take anything away from the save from Guzan because that moment, Portland gets that goal and goes into the locker room at halftime 1-1.
All the momentum on their side.
It's a different match altogether that we're talking about.
And Portland, in the first 10 minutes of the second half, really on the front foot, creating a couple very, very promising scoring chances, all of which snuffed out by Atlanta United's back line and Brad Guzan. And then the coup de grace, Joseph Martinez with another assist, Franco Escobar careening in on the back post, almost the same spot of the field in which he scored a couple weeks ago. And this one clinched it for Atlanta United. Gressel stands to the left of the ball. Almarone to the right. This is to the extreme right of Antonella. Gressel fakes. Almarone sends it to the back post. Joseph! Score! Careening in is Franco Escobar! And it's 2-0! So I thought Joseph was going to flick to goal. And instead he flicked to Franco. to get the assist, and Escobar, that's the cup-winning goal, basically, right there.
But that's Joseph. You know, I mean, that's the thing is you look at it and you see that he has so many goals this season, and you think nobody's going to fault him for going for goal there. Nobody's going to say a word to Joseph Martinez, who scored more goals than anybody in a calendar year in Major League Soccer. But he doesn't. He flicks it on, as you're supposed to do in that situation. How about Franco Escobar in this postseason? A guy that there were questions about him all season long. You know, he was not a regular at Newell's Old Boys when he came here. Didn't really know where he fit positionally. Was he a center back? Was he a right back? Found out he's a right wing back. And found out he's a guy that is really, really composed in the final third.
Yeah.
Big goals late in the season.
Yeah, I mean, Joseph was the man of the match tonight. If we were to have a larger conversation, we probably will hear the full-time report about who the man of the postseason was, I would have no argument with anyone who would say Franco Escobar. He's been absolutely dynamite. So, Atlanta United with a 2-0 lead. Couple chances late for Portland. Low percentage chances. And if you haven't heard it yet, here's how it sounded as the 23-year Major League Championship drought in this city came to an end. Settled down by Nagby. Played back to Escobar. Just seconds remaining now, folks. Michael Parkhurst on top of the goal mound. Portland does not approach the ball. Parker sends it down the middle. Referee checks his watch. It's going to bounce all the way out to Antonella. Atlanta! It is over! This city has a champion! And it's Atlanta United, winners of the 2018 MLS Cup Final! Dan Quinn on Monday, we were doing the coaches show up in Flowery Branch. And DQ and the Falcons, by the way, I know they're super pumped about this. We heard from John Michaels, and they had a big, big crowd up in Green Bay watching this tonight. Dan Quinn offered me a suggested final call for this match tonight, and I cannot repeat it on the air. I'd get fired. I'm just so incredibly grateful that we had the opportunity to describe that for you tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. Here on 92.9 The Game, your home of the MLS Cup champions. We will be on for some extended time here on the full-time report. We are trying to get someone to come up from the locker room. As you can imagine, with all the wires and hooks and levers and whatever that have been installed into this building with a huge media crunch tonight, we are having some technical difficulties linking up with the dressing room. We are working on it. Please stay with us. We are going to try to get at least someone to make some remarks on this.
We're not in a rush. We're not going anywhere right now.
No.
And it's good.
I hope you guys aren't either. I don't think they've kicked anyone out of the building yet. I look down to our left. Molly Bees is still going.
Molly Bees is going to do some business tonight.
The line at the team store is remarkable because there's championship merchandise. We've had a lot of championship merchandise shipped out to, like, third world countries because they weren't needed here.
We've had lots of conference champions, wild cards, division champions, that type of stuff. We haven't had anything like this since 1995, and it's kind of crazy when you look back at it. 1995, the Atlanta Ruckus was in the A-League Finals. They lost to the Seattle Sounders. 50 years ago, though, the Atlanta Chiefs won a title in their second year. Kind of similar to what we're seeing right here.
Yeah, very much so, and I was glad to see ESPN Stats and Research list this cup win by Atlanta United tonight as the third Major League Sports Championship in the history of the city, joining the 1995 Braves and the Chiefs. That was the A-League, the NASL, back in the late 60s. That was the A-League. That was the top league in America. And we've learned a lot about the history of the Chiefs this year. I know many of the former Chiefs and those connected with that club were here tonight to be a part of this, which was awesome. That's an Atlanta Chiefs side that played Manchester City.
Beat them twice.
And beat them twice.
They came back for more after losing the first time because they were embarrassed. They came back through Atlanta for a second game and lost again.
All right, let's take another break here on the Full-Time Report. We will take your tweets, your questions, and your feedback. Again, we are trying to link up with the dressing room. We're trying to link up with some people still out on the pitch. There are a couple people who haven't even gone back to the dressing room yet, but we're going to try to keep this party going as much as we can. Atlanta United, the 2018 MLS Cup champions, 2-0 winners over Portland Timbers tonight. Ah, yes, Outkast. Yeah, see him at the Super Bowl halftime show now, will we? But that doesn't matter. We had our Super Bowl here tonight. Atlanta United, 2-0 winners over Portland Timbers on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Worked down the Atlanta United dressing room, so we are hoping to speak to hopefully some players and some members of the technical staff momentarily, so just kind of hang in there with us. But I'll go back to what I said a few minutes ago, because I know there are some people now just getting into their cars. Braves fans, this is for you. Falcons fans, this is for you. Hawks fans, Georgia Tech fans, University of Georgia fans, this is for all of us. And if this was the first soccer match you've ever watched in your life,
welcome.
It's for you. Welcome. Stick around. We think there will be more of this to come. If you've been watching your soccer your whole life, as Jason Longshore has. I mean, Jason, I can't even imagine how you must be feeling right now. As someone, and it amazes me that I probably cried more than you in this booth, at least that I know of. Because for those of you who don't know about Jason's background, and I don't want to embarrass you or get you emotional or anything like that, but just know this, that Jason has literally dedicated his life to growing the sport of soccer in this city. And that's not just me saying that. That's people I deeply respect, people with the deepest possible connections to the sport. So for someone like you, you know, who watched an A-League final in 1995 in front of, well, less than 73,000 fans.
Just a few.
For someone who had to call Jeff Hollinger at the sports desk and call Chuck Dowell and try to get him, get them to report on the ruckus. For someone at a very young age who started running the ruckus. How are you feeling right now?
It's kind of crazy when I, like, flash back to working with the ruckus and driving a team van from Atlanta to Richmond, Virginia overnight for a game. When I think back to playing the music for the Atlanta Silverbacks at Silverbacks Park before games, picking out the songs, doing stats. When I think back to a lot of the things I did with soccer in the streets and an organization that, you know, grows the game at the absolute grassroots level. And how many people that I talked to who were like, I don't really care about soccer. We don't really want soccer in our neighborhood, or it's not going to be a big deal, or whatever. How many people that I talked to when Atlanta United was announced and said, it's not going to be a big thing. It's not going to last, all of that type of nonsense. I would love to know what some of those people are thinking right now. To be able to watch this go from 0 to 100 this fast. I mean, everybody's asked all week, did I think it would be like this? I did. I really, truly did. But I didn't think it would be like this in 2 years. I thought it would take time. I never would have guessed that, one, you would have Atlanta United truly bring this city together. You know, I park in the Gulch for a reason. You know, we do podcasts and tailgate shows, and I love doing that. But one of my favorite parts of the day is walking from the Gulch to the stadium and just listening to the conversations. Listening to people talk about they're going to their first game and they're excited. Or listening to people from all over the world talk about how much they love this team. Or listening to people, you know, with a very heavy Southern accent talk about driving up for 2.5 hours to come to this game.
Yep.
We talked to somebody today in the Gulch who said they drove 9 hours yesterday to be here. Mm. And they're driving 9 hours back tomorrow. This team, it's everything that is great about Atlanta. It's everything that is great about our city. And if you're new to this, if you're listening and you're like, well, why is this a big deal? Why does it matter? It's soccer. I never played soccer. I never watched soccer before this. This is the only thing that I think could do this. As great as a Falcons game day is, it's incredibly diverse. But this is men, women, young, old, locally born, born in all parts of the world. It's a clean slate for everybody. If you moved here and you're a diehard Bears fan, or you're a diehard Reds fan, or you're a diehard, you know, I don't know, LA Rams fan, and you can't feel like you're in Atlanta, you can put on the red and black stripes here, and you can wear the King Peach kit, and you can get on board with the thing that is truly uniting Atlanta.
Yeah. And you're going to see a manifestation of that unity Monday morning at 10 when we have our first championship parade in the city in 23 years.
We're having a parade for a soccer team in Atlanta, Georgia. Like, let's wrap our head around that.
And the captain, Michael Parkhurst, is going to lead that parade. And he's down outside the Atlanta United dressing room joining us here on the full-time report.
Hey, Mike.
Buddy, I'll tell you what. I don't know what to say. You've drawn some tears out of us in this booth. We're just so elated for you. And I don't know what to say other than congratulations. No one deserves it more than you.
Thank you. Man, what a night. It's a night that I'll never forget. We'll never forget. Atlanta will never forget. I mean, the performance from the boys tonight was so good. So, so good. The fans obviously brought it, as they always do. What an atmosphere here tonight. What an incredible night.
Well, Michael, you've been here 5 times. This is the first you've won, other than the obvious fact, this is the first one you've won. What was different about this one than the others?
I don't know, the score line, the fact that we've got Miguel and Joseph. we got a special team here. And, you know, it's tough when you got all the pressure on you, being the higher seed, hosting. You know, everyone expecting you to win. It's difficult. You know, Portland's got a great team, and they're so good on the road. But and it was never in doubt tonight. The performance was so, so good. Everyone raised their game the entire playoffs. We kept it going tonight. And, man, we're going to party hard tonight.
Michael, let's flash back to February of 2017 when Tata Martino decided to give you the captain's armband. Did you think that it could come together like this fast?
Nah, you never know. I mean, the club set us up for success from day one with their vision. You know, Arthur's been so good to us. You know, the facilities, the players they've brought in, the coaching staff. But it doesn't guarantee results on the field. You know, Toronto is a prime example for that. And, you know, I mean, for us to come out here in year two with a target on our back in year two, really. I mean, we knew that we had to be at our best almost every game. You know, guys, teams play their best against us, especially when they come here. They know they have to or they're going to get embarrassed. And we stepped up, continued it throughout the season. There was never a real big lull. We never lost back-to-back games. You know, just incredible.
One of the many things that that made us emotional up here was watching the reaction from Arthur Blank. And after that, the conversation with you guys, you know, can you share any of that with us?
No, he just thanked me for, you know, what we've done here, you know, for the city, for the club, for him. Yeah, I'm just happy that we could bring him a championship. It's been a long time coming for him. and what he's done for this city and what he does as an owner. He's fantastic. He's hands-on. You know, we love playing for him. He's such a good guy, and so happy that we can make him a champion.
Michael, I don't want to keep you from the celebration down there. It sounds pretty lit in the background. I do want to ask you, though, very quickly before we let you go. We're going to have a parade for a soccer team Monday in a city, a metropolitan area of 6 million people. There are going to be hundreds of thousands of people standing out in the rain and cold to cheer you on again on Monday. What is that going to mean to you, not just as a member of Atlanta United, but as a member of the American soccer landscape, a national teamer, someone who's been part of the fabric of soccer in this country for a long time? This feels transformative, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. It has all season long with what Atlanta has done for us and the support they've given us. I can't wait to celebrate with the fans. I hope they turn out. We owe it all to them. The atmosphere that they've created, everyone in the league is jealous. All the players want to play here. And it's because of the fans and what they create here. So we're so fortunate. We can't wait to party with them. And, yeah. We'll see you Monday.
Go get back in there.
Thank
Save
you.
Us a cold one. We'd appreciate it.
Thanks. So,
Michael Parkhurst, captain of Atlanta United. Do you think that was his last match?
The way he played this season, I hope not.
Yeah.
He was outstanding this season. Columbus Crew really have to be shaking their head right now about letting him go so easily.
It's almost crazy to think about, but in 12 hours there's going to be a lot of movement around the league, player movement, and
less than 12 hours.
Yeah, well, what time is it now? It's 11:20.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock in the morning. And then, you know, expansion draft, all that stuff that's going to – super draft, all the stuff that's going to happen during the week. And I'm not trying to move past the celebration that we're going to have over the next couple days starting tonight. But if you would, briefly explain now, from a club standpoint, what's going to happen over the next 48 hours?
Yeah, we'll break things down more in detail Monday and then Tuesday with our Stoppage Time live show at Fadeau Irish Pub in Buckhead, and we hope that place is packed on Tuesday. That's going to be a fun night. Tomorrow there is a four-hour trade window ahead of the decisions that teams have to make about the expansion draft for FC Cincinnati coming in. So that's from 9 to 11 in the morning. There are already a lot of rumors around the league, actually. Max Yaruti, forward for Dallas, could be on the move. Vancouver could be in the market for a goalkeeper. I think it'll be fairly active. We'll see if Atlanta's active. I don't know. We haven't really heard anything. There haven't really been any rumors about it, and I don't know how much business this front office is going to be doing first thing in the morning. We will see then who is on the protected list as those come out late in the day Monday. Honestly, I think that's one reason why Atlanta United pushed to have this parade so fast after tonight, because you are going to see some changes. You are going to see some things happen next week. You could lose a player in the expansion draft. You could only lose one player in that to FC Cincinnati. They'll pick five players from around the league that are unprotected. Then there's a waiver draft. You have to make decisions on players in option years. You would assume that pretty much all of those decisions have been made. It's a quick turnaround for a front office that, you know, wants to celebrate this and revel in it for a bit, but five stripes don't stop.
No.
You can't here.
Speaking of the front office, you know, we've talked a lot about Arthur Blank and how happy we are for him, and Michael Parkhurst echoed those sentiments. This would not happen without Darren Eales, not by a long shot. And I remember we were joking with Kevin Egan about a very early season moment we had up in Minnesota at the hotel bar in Minneapolis after that kind of ugly 1-0, 10-man win by Atlanta United.
Beautiful.
I vividly remember Darren Eales just in a moment of relaxation talking about, with total clarity, we have a lot of goals for this club, and we're going to win MLS Cups, and by the way, we will do it. And he was convinced and very decisive and determined about that. You know, Dan Cordemach, our very first guest on the pre-match show tonight, talked about how hiring a guy like Darren Eales from Spurs gives automatic credibility to an expansion team. And I think what Darren does not get enough credit for is not necessarily scouting, player personnel, the technical side of things, and he's very good on that too. It's the way he interfaces with us, with supporters. He gets it. And he's been just as big a builder of this club culture, the biggest builder, quite frankly, of this club culture here in Atlanta.
100%. Darren Eales amazes me in how he remembers every single person's name.
Yeah.
And not just the name, but something about the conversation. He did a lot for us at Soccer in the Streets when I was there and went out of his way to do things for Soccer in the Streets. One of the first things he did was he played in a charity match, and we were asking him to come out and present the trophy to the winning team. He said he wanted to play, and, oh, by the way, he would bring Arthur out to present that trophy.
Yeah.
For a charity, things like that you don't have to do.
No.
You don't have to do. He always makes time for everybody.
The day that we found out that Tata Martino would not return next year as Atlanta United manager, what does Darren do? Comes out to Fidel and Buckhead and joins us for Stoppage Time Live. Because he felt it was important to explain to the supporters that have put so much equity in the club, this is what's going on. We've got this. Don't worry. Here are my ideas. We don't necessarily need to do what everyone thinks we need to do. Here's the plan. And I think that's been remarkably important. Carlos Bocanegra, as the technical director, has been enormously important, and probably even more so now as the club enters the offseason without a coaching staff. One is to assume, we don't know this for sure, but one is to assume that Tata Martino will likely take most of his coaching staff, if not all of them, with him to wherever it is, Mexico, wherever.
Very typical.
And now the technical director almost becomes, in a way, acting coach until the manager can be hired. And Atlanta United's in a little bit of a time crunch there because CONCACAF Champions League is on the horizon.
It's a tough thing when you're at the top, because everybody will be gunning for you. We talked about it all season. It felt like every team brought it in an extra way against Atlanta United. You think that's going to lessen in 2019? No way. You think Herediano in Costa Rica, who's going into the second leg of the Costa Rican final tomorrow, you think they're not going to be up for that CONCACAF round of 16 match?
Right.
We've seen some atmospheres in our travels. Herediano Stadium in Heredia, Costa Rica, 7,000-8,000 people going insane for that match. That's going to be the new manager's debut in a competitive sense. There will be some preseason games before that.
Right.
But that's going to be the first competitive match for a new manager, probably some new players. And you've got a target on your back now. Carlos Bocanegra will have a lot to do in these next few weeks as big decisions are made about what Atlanta United looks like in 2019.
Well, they'll have a target on their back, but they're also going to have a star over the crest. Mm-hmm. And that's the more important thing that we're focused on right now. Atlanta United, MLS Cup champions in 2018. And again, folks, there's going to be a parade on Monday. If you have not heard the route by now, or route, we're in the South. If you have not heard the route, here it is again. It's going to start on the corner of Peachtree Street and Baker Street. Okay, that's in downtown Atlanta. 10 o'clock Monday morning. It will go down Baker Street, past Centennial Olympic Park, past the aquarium. It will turn left on Marietta Street near the College Football Hall of Fame. It will go down Marietta Street to International. It'll turn right. It'll go past State Farm Arena, basically, and then around State Farm Arena to essentially Gate 2 of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where the giant Falcon statue will be. I am told by my wife, who's listening in the car, they've already placed a championship scarf over the Falcons. These guys are so detail-oriented, they never cease to amaze me.
And this was something that people tried to make a thing about, oh, Atlanta United's already planning a parade, the overconfidence.
Well, you know
you
what?
You have to plan these things.
You have to take out permits. It's not like the
yes.
city. Oh, yeah, go ahead, shut down our streets.
Hey, Arthur Blank is very important in this city, but come on now. He's not pulling that one off.
So that's the parade route. Again, Jason and I will be in there. We're going to broadcast live from it at 10 a.m. Monday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Additional coverage details will be coming. Please be patient on all of that. Okay, we're going to take another break. We hope to have more from the Salvatore Atlanta United dressing room when we come back. And I'll put out the appeal for anyone listening in the press box, local media, who wants to join us to share their reflections. We're going to stay on for at least a few more minutes here on the Full Time Report. Atlanta United, 2018 MLS Cup champions, 2-0 over Portland Timbers on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, Jimmy Vance has come up from the dressing room. The club has asked us to please cease all interviews they'd like to celebrate, and we respect that. So this is going to be our final segment of the year here on the Full Time Report. Jimmy Vance,
hey,
Stoppage Time Live, our executive producer, is on with us. John Nelson, the voice of ATL UTD2, who has joined us from Stoppage Time Live all year. Mena Diaz is celebrating with us here in the booth as well, our producer of Stoppage Time Live. So you in the hat, you on the headset, you wearing the national stuff, we're all going to be in the parade on Monday, so clear your calendar for Monday morning. John, I'm sure you'll be down there.
I got studying, dude.
We have limited seats, unfortunately. I know you have to call.
I got studying.
The state football championship.
I got art class and studying after this.
The people who are upset about the state football championships being moved because of this have lockjaw right now, it seems. I don't see too much complaining about it now after what happened tonight. But
Bad sports town, huh, Mike?
Well, let's go around the room. And, John, I think you have very unique perspective because you've covered sports in this town a long time.
Since I'm 407 years old, yes.
No, not like that. But, I mean, you've covered all the professional sports. You bought into soccer way earlier than most. So I'm very, very pleased for you tonight. But, you know, Jason and I were talking about, is it the same as the Falcons winning a Super Bowl? Is it the same as the Braves winning a World Series or the Hawks winning an NBA Finals? And quite frankly, I think to the people who love this club, it absolutely is.
No doubt.
And it is what you make of it. But if you don't think it's a big deal to Arthur Blank, I have never seen him that emotional in my life.
I'm going to go back to 1994. And the loudest that I ever heard the Omni for an event, the Turner Cup Finals for
Knights.
The Atlanta Knights against the Fort Wayne Comets. And I was down ice level. And to hear that noise that night and to have another night like that tonight with 73,000 of your best friends and your newest friends, it's one of those seminal moments that you just take with you and you will remember where you were. You'll remember what you did. You'll remember who was with you. And Atlanta as a city, United fans on the whole, have a tremendous amount to be proud of as a group, because something that we've always talked about is the inclusion of it all. Welcoming in the new fans. Welcoming in somebody who's new to the game. Welcoming in someone who's fan allegiances have been in other places. And to have all of it come together under this roof, which, by the way, I think if Miggy had hit that bicycle,
oh my,
that roof would have come off.
It would have been an unusual bike because it was a bouncing bike, but it very nearly went in. Antonella made a couple big saves, or it could have been 4 or 5 nil tonight.
Yep.
Jimmy, this is as loud as I've heard this building, any sport, any event.
It was incredible. And just to go back, for me, being from Athens, Georgia, I was 11 when the Braves won the World Series in 95, and the drought, and now it's finally over, and being on the field when Michael Parkhurst and Arthur Blank lifted that trophy, it just sent goosebumps, and the whole stadium just erupted. I've never experienced anything like that in sports, and I'm just so thankful to be with you guys in the booth and being down there at that moment. It was just lost for words right now.
Well, we have plenty of time for thanks, and thank you for everything you've done for us this year. So, Jason, it's a milepost. It's not the end. Let's turn our attention now to 2019. And, we do not have the ability in our positions, Jason and I, to comment on specific reports and rumors that are out there. We don't really know anything.
No, we don't know. Reports are reports.
There's nothing for us to really comment on. But you do need a new manager. It is widely believed that Al Marone will be going to Europe. Newcastle.
There will be offers. I mean, you can guarantee there's going to be offers.
There will probably be offers for Joseph Martinez. He's very happy here. I think he's in a little bit of a different boat than Miguel Al Marone. But I think what we can conclusively say is that Arthur Blank, Darren Eales are going to do whatever it takes to make this a super club in MLS that's competing for MLS Cup every year.
You think they're satisfied right now?
No.
No.
This is only one trophy.
There's a big one coming up that's starting in February, and one that no MLS team has ever won.
By the way, two notes. We will host the Campione's Cup here in August at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against the champions of Liga MX. That will be incredible. And the New York Red Bulls are sending a big bouquet of thanks to Atlanta United tonight, because with Atlanta United winning the MLS Cup, that is their entry point into the CONCACAF Champions League. And now Red Bulls, who are next in line on the two-year aggregate point total, they will go to the CONCACAF Champions League. So it'll be Houston Dynamo, the U.S. Open Cup champion. It will be Atlanta United. It will be Sporting Kansas City. And it will be New York Red Bulls among the American MLS clubs. Toronto will also go as the Canadian champion.
Yeah, I mean, let's go back. You build a team, you know, starting in 2016. You get into the 2017 season. You're going to have guys whose contracts are up at the end of the season. You're going to have options to decide on different players. So it's a busy time. I mean, it starts at 9 in the morning tomorrow when that trade window opens. I wouldn't expect Atlanta United to be looking for deals, but, you know, people are going to be looking at Atlanta United to make deals. And this is a club that, think back to last year, after a great first year, you went out in a very aggressive manner and brought Darlington Nagbe here. And that was a move that shook MLS up. You could see something like that happen here. You're going to have free agency hit. There are going to be some free agents that would be very attractive to this team. As Michael Parker said, everybody in this league wants to play here right now.
Yep.
Everybody in this league wants to play in front of these fans. So this is going to be a very tricky time, and this is where you see those moves pay off in bringing Darren Eales and Carlos Bocanegra here, because to build a super club, as Alexi Lalas talked about on our air this week, you have to keep doing it. And Atlanta United is not satisfied with just winning one. They're going to have a blast tonight. They're going to have a blast tomorrow. They're going to have a blast Monday during the parade and probably the rest of the day. And then business picks up, and there are going to be opportunities and big decisions to make. Miguel Almiron will have offers. Other players on this team that we're not even thinking about will have offers. When you win a championship, you're in the spotlight. So there will be a lot of decisions to make, but the rumors that are out there about players who could be potentially incoming, this is a high-level operation.
I want to get your thoughts, guys, on what the next frontier is for this club from a support standpoint. It's hard to imagine it can get bigger than it can, but I really believe there were a lot of people in the state of Georgia tonight that were introduced to this.
Yep.
You know, being, as Alexi Lalas put it, being shown on Homer Simpson Fox, not FS1.
Big Fox.
In prime time and a championship where I think a lot of people were engaged. I feel the next challenge for this club is to achieve the same level of support they have here in Metro Atlanta on more of a regional basis. Make this a thing in Macon. Make this a thing in Greenville, South Carolina, in Birmingham, in Chattanooga, Rome, Georgia, all of that. Hopefully this was the first step towards that tonight.
Well, you look at what Darren has said since day one. He wanted it to be a regional club. He wanted it to have that kind of an impact with everything that has gone on here. And if you think about a Statesboro, Georgia with Tormenta, if you think about Chattanooga with their multiple clubs, Greenville with their multiple clubs, but you got Nashville coming right around the corner, and you're already making inroads north with the time that you played at Finley Stadium. You're going to have Nashville chasing after you. You're heading, you got Birmingham coming up with the USL. But I think that the momentum is there, and the plans have already been in place from the beginning since Darren Eales walked in the door to make this that regional entity.
We're going to do a little bit of radio awkwardness here. I apologize, because we have five people in four microphones.
Awkward.
But J. Sam Jones of Dirty South Soccer joins us. Jimmy, can we have Sam borrow your microphone here for a moment? So the handoff continues. We are literally on the seat of our pants right
now.
As we
them five strikes is heck.
Oh, they are heck. Oh, gosh, in the best way.
You know what's...
Careful,
I think,
Conti broke that chair.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah. Well,
use your balance.
Larry Munson style.
Yeah, it's a metal steel chair.
It was a metal steel chair. I've already apologized to Wes. It's his chair, too. I'll go down to Big Lots, get him a new one. You know what stands out to me the most about this postseason run? It never felt difficult. And that's the crazy thing, because you took out New York City, including a win at Yankee Stadium, which no one is supposed to do. You hang a 3-0 burger on Red Bulls. No one thought that was possible. And tonight, you never felt like this match was in danger for Atlanta United. You never felt like Valeri or Blanco or Chara were capable of magic. That's what's most remarkable to me. Not that they did it, but that it felt as easy as it felt.
And that made me really uneasy. Every single time, right. I kept expecting myself, okay, oh, this is the moment.
Says
this
the
is
man
when
who
it's all
types
going
in
down.
Consonants.
Consonants. And it's consonant full caps. But I felt uneasy about how little I felt uneasy, if that makes sense.
No, it does.
Throughout the entire thing, they seemed in control. Going into the games, you thought to yourself, well, I mean, they could definitely screw it up. But it didn't seem like they're going to. And throughout the entire thing, they executed in ways you wouldn't really expect them to if you had just watched that in game. In Toronto, that last game. Yeah. And Brad Guzan was just talking about it down in the press conference. If that doesn't happen, I'm not sure we see that same kind of performance. It refocused them. You lose out on the supporter shield, but you end up refocused and you end up here tonight.
Yeah, give us a report from what it was like down there.
Your clothes are dry, sir. What happened?
My shoes are not. The champagne made it all the way there, at least. It was a party. Goggles, champagne everywhere. I'm not sure what the younger teenage Atlanta Uniteds were doing there, but they were somehow joining in the party as
we
well.
We know nothing.
We know exactly. We know nothing. We saw nothing. Tito with the flag draped around him, everything just going crazy. And Joseph Martinez stuck doing a press conference with a bunch of media folk, unfortunately. He got out of there pretty quick
well,
after
now,
we got done.
This has become a version of how many people can we fit in the kitchen, because Felipe Cardenas of The Athletic has joined us now. Right, as we continue our media roundtable here. John is still here. Jimmy is still here. Jason. Felipe, did you see it like this when we were talking on Tuesday? Because like we were just talking about with J. Sam Jones, this never felt like it was in any kind of danger ever for Atlanta United.
I agree. I think it was a typical final, though. I thought there was a lot of emotion. I thought the players were playing. Some of them were playing with a little too much emotion. It was a fast game at first, but not as sharp as I thought it could have been. You know, Joseph, he gets his goal. It's a soul-crushing goal for Portland. But I thought when he came off, it was a good sub. You know, I think he was really playing the game within the game. And, you know, Joseph is an emotional player. I think he's one of the most emotional players that I've ever come across. And he did what he had to do, and he could step off. But no, I don't. I expected Portland to maintain, to really hang throughout the match, and I think that obviously taking a goal right before halftime just really crushes you.
Yeah, that seemed to be the moment to me. Was you give up that goal, and then you have your best chance of the night, and Brad Guzan just stones Obobese in that moment. Portland never seemed to really recover from that.
No, they didn't. And honestly, you know, I thought they were settling in. You know, there was a point where, you know, we talked about the low block. They're going to sit. They're going to bunker. They're going to counter. And they pressed a little bit.
They really did.
And I thought that was good, because that's something that they probably saw in film. You know, the New York Red Bulls did not press. They allowed Parkhurst and LGP to just ping balls all over the field and just really do a lot of damage. And they pressed a little bit up high, and I thought it was effective at first. And really, when they started to settle in and maybe look at, you know, we might get to halftime with a 0-0 score, that's when Joseph scores.
I want to get J. Sam Jones and Felipe Cardenas' thoughts on what we've been talking about with John and Jimmy, because the offseason literally starts in 10 hours, okay? Almiron, in all likelihood, not back. We know Tata is not back. And it's a six-week sprint to the start of training camp and the CONCACAF Champions League. So when Darren Eales and Carlos Bocanegra sober up, not to suggest that they aren't, but after they are done celebrating tonight, where do you start with all of this? Is it the manager?
Yeah, I think you have to look at the manager. Obviously, there's going to be decisions on players happening very soon, and we know that. The players know that. That might happen as soon as tomorrow, where they start getting phone calls. But, you know, I just talked to Jeff Larinowitz. You know, his future is uncertain, but – you know, the conversation that we had was, it doesn't matter what happens. Like, this is the year that he will never forget. He played at a high level throughout the season. He took on some big responsibilities tactically, you know, playing in the back and a back three. And now he's a champion once again. So, yeah, I think once they get that manager in, then we'll start to see who stays. Who does that manager prefer? What type of player does he like? And it'll go from there.
The manager part is so crucial, because the biggest aspect of keeping this whole thing going is, for right now, keeping that pipeline South America, players coming in and being interested. And Tata Martino, his presence, his draw was so crucial into getting people here, getting Miguel Almiron here. And going forward, I think we need someone. I think Atlanta needs someone very similar to that kind of stature, that kind of presence. They can keep bringing those folks in. So that's step one. Step two is giving Jeff Larinowitz a multi-year contract. He can never leave, can never, ever get out of here. And then re-upping Mike Parkhurst, who said in the press conference that he does have an option for next year that the team can pick up. So we'll find out soon,
that's
I guess.
Answer. That's the first one we've heard. Yeah,
yeah, we were speculating on whether or not this might have been his final match tonight. It sounds like that's an indication he wants to come back. Headset roulette continues. I'm going to take J. Sam Jones and give it to Doug Robertson, if you don't mind. J. Sam Jones of Dirty South Soccer. People can follow you on Twitter where?
At J_SamJones and at Dirty South SOC.
Great job.
Great job all year, guys. Thank you so
much
for everything
you
do.
Thank you. Okay, here comes Doug Robertson now, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the beat writer for Atlanta United from the founding days of this club. And I'll grant us all a moment of personal privilege. We're supposed to take this from an objective standpoint, obviously. But what are your feelings and emotions after what we have just seen here tonight?
It's a little weird. It really is. As I tweeted earlier today, I started playing soccer in 1975 when I was 5 years old because of the Atlanta Chiefs. There was a little flyer sitting on the desk in first grade at Riverside Elementary saying, come meet the Chiefs, come play soccer. And to be here tonight at a $1.6 billion stadium with a team from Atlanta winning a soccer championship, it's just a weird – I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, part of me is kind of emotional about it, and part of me is like, I got a lot of stuff I can do.
And credit, by the way, to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and The Athletic and Dirty South Soccer and all the media in Atlanta, but especially the AJC, really treating this like a big event, a Super Bowl. And I noticed there was a front page extra that's been distributed tonight here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which is really cool.
You could buy it tomorrow in Sunday's paper, too.
There you go. Buy the AJC and support Doug. Did this postseason run feel as easy to you as it felt to us at times?
Yes, but only because of some of the things that have been mentioned that I heard when I walked in. Had they not lost the supporters' shield, I don't know if they would have won the MLS Cup. You could write off either the Red Bulls game or the Toronto game as just one-off results, just a bad day. But when you put the two things together, it spelled that there was a weakness in this club, and it was mostly a mental thing. It's something that Larinowitz had been preaching for 2 years, consistent intensity, and they didn't have it in those games. Jeff, we were talking in the locker room, and he said, you've been here for 2 years. I need to ask you something. And I said, what? And he said, when did you think we were going to win it? And I said, yeah, I did. In the first 15 minutes of the first NYCFC game, I thought, yeah, they're going to win the cup because of the way you bounce back from that loss at Toronto. And it's doing the things that I just said, the consistent intensity that they've been lacking. That's when I kind of realized this team, unless it just is unlucky, it's going to win the cup.
Do you feel like that was the wake-up call?
I do. I want to echo what Doug said, because there are a few players today, while they're celebrating a championship, a historic championship for this club and for this city, they're still talking about the Toronto game. They're still talking about the loss. And what it meant, and when it happened, what part of the season, and how hard it was, and obviously there was a big come to Jesus moment after that game where they had to step up and realize that, like, to Doug's point, they can be beaten on any given day, and they're heading into the part of the season where when you lose, you go home. So I think it was one of the best things that happened to this team to get egg on their face in a big match, lose a supporter shield when they should have taken it handily, but looking back now they're the champs, and let me just say, as someone that's not from Atlanta, I did not grow up here. I've been here 8 years. This is a great city. The city's been great to me as well. This tonight was unbelievable. It felt like a huge moment, just sporting wise. It was the loudest the stadium has probably ever been.
Yes.
When the final whistle blew, I think it was the loudest, I've ever heard this stadium.
And sound had feeling.
Yeah.
I know that's a cliche, but you could feel the sound.
Yeah, and so you think, supporters come in, they're nervous, like, is it going to be a cagey match? And it just never felt like that. It felt like the supporters were ready to win this championship tonight.
Felipe, people can follow you where on Twitter?
On Twitter, at Felipe Carr. Follow me, tweet me. Always happy to engage with the fans. And then don't forget to follow at The Athletic soccer.
Doug, people can follow you on Twitter where?
At Doug Robertson AJC, on Facebook at Atlanta United News Now, and if I get a chance to do the podcast, Southern Pride Soccer Podcast on iTunes. I've got a lot of words.
Yeah, so do we, and that's why we're going to have to kind of wrap this up. Doug, it's been a pleasure being with you on the road this year and getting to know you. We had a great Mexican dinner in San Jose.
We did have a great dinner.
I look forward to traveling with you again next year. Thank you very much. Felipe, thank you for joining us on Stoppage Time this year. We are going to have one more Stoppage Time, by the way, Tuesday night at Fideau and Buckhead. John Nelson, you are class personified, and your work with ATL UTD2 has been amazing this year. And soccer down here. Are you going to do a show tomorrow? Yeah,
we're doing a show talking about the trade window. We'll see where Maxi Arruti ends up. We'll see what other moves might happen. We'll probably be talking a little bit about tonight, too.
All right. Doug, Felipe, John, Jimmy, thank you. I want to give Jason and I a moment just to kind of close out the broadcast because we are just about out of time on this championship Saturday. Thank you so much, Felipe. Really appreciate it. Doug, thank you very much. I'm going to leave the mic to start to the godfather of Atlanta soccer for some final thoughts.
Oh, man, I don't even know where to start. My phone's been buzzing like since probably 10 minutes left in the game with so many people. Like, look, this is –
Oren, stop playing the music. This is going to take a minute. Thank you.
I don't know how long I'm going to ramble, Oren. I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't even know where to start, to be perfectly honest. This is the most I've ever felt about this game in this city. And there's no way to put words to it, to be honest. I mean, you know, I'm like Doug. You know, I started playing as a kid. I played at Fort Gillum on fields that were like slanted and not even flat completely and played for the YMCA in Clayton County as a kid. And you know, we had just a handful of teams. This was in the mid 80s when you didn't have a professional team here and I missed the Chiefs. So I was that kid in the late 80s who had a Dale Murphy poster on my wall, had a Steve Bartkowski poster on my wall, Dominique Wilkins jersey, and I had a Diego Maradona poster on my wall. I think I was the only kid in Riverdale, Georgia to have that. I was the one who was always out trying to get a soccer game going in the neighborhood. And slowly but surely, you know, it became more of a thing. 94 World Cup was a big deal. MLS launched in 96. You had the ruckus in 95, so you had professional soccer come back in a big way. And it was it's been quite a ride. I mean, to see the people that have, like, sent me messages tonight, you know, or people that – I drove hours with to go see the U.S. men's national team in Birmingham or up to Nashville to see a game, or people that, you know, our semi-pro team would have a game in Huntsville, Alabama, and I'd be driving a van to go play. Seeing, you know, all those people kind of come out of the woodwork and celebrate this and share it with me. You know, look, there's a lot of people like me in the city. There's a lot of people who put in a lot of hours and time and blood and sweat and tears into growing this game. I by far wasn't the first. Wendy Parker, who wrote for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution for a number of years, who covered the ruckus when I was there, I mean, she had a tweet that really got to me. Phil Woosnam, you know? Phil Woosnam passed away in 2013. I hope he knew that a team was coming. Because you don't have Atlanta United like this without Phil Woosnam making the decision in 1966 to come to Atlanta, Georgia, a place he had never been. And Phil Woosnam, in that first year of the Atlanta Chiefs, they did 390 clinics in Atlanta, in a city that had maybe six high schools that played soccer, did not have an organized state association, youth league, adult league, anything. And so many of those kids that played went on to have kids. And the generations just kept growing and growing, and more people played. And it was growing to a point that when Atlanta United launched and everybody said, like, oh, it's not going to be that big, I knew that wasn't the case. I knew that it could be this big. I just didn't think it could be this big this fast.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that you give credit to everybody who built it to that point, but what Arthur Blank did, what Darren Eales did, what Carlos Bocanegra did, what these players have done, you know, they represent Atlanta to the fullest. And hearing Michael Parker, who's not from Atlanta, talk about how much it meant hearing Joseph Martinez, who's not from Atlanta, talk about how much he loves the city and how much he knew that they needed a championship. Not deserved, not wanted, needed a championship. Atlanta needed this. Atlanta needs that parade on Monday. You know, this is a crazy time, and this team, to me, brings out all of the best things that I love about the city.
I echo all of that. I'll just end by giving some thank yous, and this is going to take a moment. I know we're past midnight, but indulge me for a second. First and foremost, Oren tells me go long. First and foremost, thanks to Oren for letting me go long. first and foremost, I want to thank my broadcast partner, Jason Longshore, who has been absolutely my Sherpa in guiding me through this wonderful, beautiful game. And I know Jason, he likes to say angels with dirty faces, and you know, it's a beautiful game, but sometimes we have to get a little grimy. And Jason does such a great job of just being patient with someone who really doesn't know the game, quite frankly. And I'm sure there have been moments this year where you're probably thinking, what the hell is this guy talking about? And you've never once expressed that to me. You've been an amazing travel partner. You've turned into an amazing friend, and love working with you, and can't wait to do it again next year. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to say
Thank
that.
Thank you, Mike.
To the rest of the crew at 92.9 The Game that's been part of the game broadcast all year, executive producer Jimmy Vance, who has been phenomenal. He was the founder of Stoppage Time along with Jason. We would not have Stoppage Time without him. Miller Pope, who's been our on-site engineer for many of our home games. Eric Davis, who got us the MLS Cup tonight. We're undefeated without Eric Davis as our backup engineer. That's Eric says, give me one more paycheck. He's right, and he'll get one. Oren Romaine, who has just been a fantastic studio producer for us all year long, along with Jahi Whitehead on the times where we had Jahi. It's so nice to do these broadcasts, knowing that there's someone reliable in the booth. Matt Moore and Darren Eels with Atlanta United, and Terry Fox with 92.9 The Game. To use an expression that Darren has used before, they took a punt on me to be the play-by-play announcer. There are probably times this year where they regretted that. I hope they don't regret it now. I absolutely look forward to continuing in this role. This has been amazing, more than I ever imagined it would be, championship or not. But I really appreciate them giving me the opportunity. No one else has up to this point. Matt Moore did, and I really appreciate him very much. And I appreciate his willingness to include us in the parade on Monday. My wife, you know, when this opportunity was presented to me, my wife, Leanne, I told her, it's no big deal. It's only one game a week, and I'm not traveling. Oops. Well, now we're traveling, and it's been a lot more than one game a week. Her patience is absolutely mind-blowing to me. I don't know why she puts up with me. I can't believe she tolerates the travel and the time away from home to do this, but she gets it. She is absolutely my rock of support in all this, and Leanne, I could not do this without you. I really appreciate it. But most of all, I really want to thank the listeners, all of you that I've interacted with all year on Twitter. You're out there. Those of you on Reddit, you know, those of you who come up to me walking up from Subway on a Tuesday afternoon and say, I really liked your call last night. My heart is full every time I hear something like that. It just means absolutely so much to me that you've enjoyed the broadcast, that you support the broadcast. The radio station is aware of your support. Our sponsors are aware of your support. That's been vitally important. And we wouldn't do this without you. And for those of you out there who have not liked me and have expressed so on Twitter or on Reddit, I appreciate you too, because you push me to get better, and I will work to get better. And one day you won't know that I don't know anything about soccer, hopefully. But this has been an education for me this year, and Jason's been my guide, my Sherpa through all of this. Again, John Nelson, who's been just absolute class all year. John, thank you. Doug Robertson, who we're with on the road. And also, I cannot neglect Chris Winkler, Justin Veldhaus, Chris Amanati, and Johannes Schindler with Atlanta United's comm staff, who have just been amazing in giving us all the information and access we've needed all year. And the Atlanta United digital team, folks, you don't know how lucky you have it here to have Mikey Alfano, Ryan Katniss, Kat Gutierrez, Katie Gillen, just and I hope I'm not leaving anyone out. I
Eric
apologize.
Rossett.
Eric Ross. Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely. Eric's the only one I didn't see tonight. The content they turn out, you know how good it is, and I'm very grateful to them for their including me in that content for whatever reason. And You haven't seen anything yet. I think what you're going to see over the next couple days with the parade and with everything tonight, you're very lucky to have them engaging with you on social media and digitally, and that's all I'll say about that. And I think that that's pretty much it. Oh, Mena Diaz, of course, our producer of Stoppage Time, Jarrett Smith, who's covered all our games on the reporting side for 92.9 The Game. I can't thank anyone else because oh, Craig. Yeah, I guess we should thank him, too. Craig Carlos Valentino.
I want to thank everybody at the station who, I mean, I remember day one last year when I came in to do promos, and the first two people I met were Rick Campbell and John Michaels. And the first thing they said was, we don't know anything about soccer, but we're excited and we want to learn. And that's been the mode at the station from day one. And you know, 92.9 The Game has done things for soccer in this country that no other city gets to benefit from. That's the thing. You know, we all want more coverage for what we're passionate about, but the amount of coverage that 92.9 The Game gives soccer in Atlanta United in the city is 5, 6, 7, 8, 20, 50 times what other cities have. I was talking to Andy Bunker last night. I mean, in Portland, when they won the championship in 2015, it was hard to get more than one segment on the morning show the next morning.
Yeah,
I don't think that's going to be the case here.
But you know, we do it because we have the listenership.
Exactly.
And that speaks to what I'm talking about with all of you listening to us right now, supporting us.
Yes.
Quite frankly, it's good business for us because this is content that you're demanding and we're happy to give it to you. Anything else?
I'll probably have more, but I'll tweet
it. Again, Monday morning, 10 a.m., the parade starts at Peachtree and Baker. Jason and I will be in it. We will broadcast live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thank you again for listening. You will never forget this night as long as you live. I promise you that. For Jason Longshore, Jimmy Vance, Warren Romaine, Eric Davis, I'm Mike Conti. One more time, 2-0 Atlanta United over Portland Timbers to win the 2018 MLS Cup. I'm going to get a Baconator right now. Talk to you guys tomorrow on Falcons Packers here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Settled down by Nagby. Played back to Escobar. Just seconds remaining now, folks. Michael Parkhurst on top of the goal now. Portland does not approach the ball. Parkhurst sends it down the middle. Referee checks his watch. It's going to bounce all the way out to Antonella. Atlanta! It is over! Champion, and it's Atlanta United, winners of the 2018 MLS Cup Final.